Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
The following podcast is brought to you by BetDSI.com. The NFL and college seasons are heating up, so what are you doing on the sidelines? Get in the game with BetDSI. They've been paying winners for 20 years now, and with a reputation for great service and fast payouts, it's easy to know why BetDSI is the place to play, win, and get paid, anytime, anywhere. BetDSI has every wager you could ever imagine, whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, UFC, esports, global sports. I mean, if it's happening, BetDSI is putting a line on it. You can even bet on politics and celebrities. Plus, you can bet live with BetDSI's live betting option. So stop hanging out on the sidelines and get started with BetDSI. You'll get some extra bang for your buck right now, too. BetDSI is offering you podcast listeners an extra 25% bonus, but only when you use the promo code WIN125. Don't leave your money on the table. Use promo code WIN125 and get the special podcast listener 125% bonus. Just visit BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code WIN125. Don't stand on the sidelines. To win it, you have to be in it. Visit BetDSI.com right now. That's BetDSI.com. Promo code WIN125.
Is the Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and Sportsmap 94.1. Presented by Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Monday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell. We're here till 9:30. Raheel joins us at 9 o'clock, and we take you into Charlie Polillo. Big weekend. Big weekend. Okay. Biggest storyline of the weekend. Was it Texans win, take over first place? Was it Rockets-Lakers fight? Or was it Brooks Koepka taking over as the number one golfer in the world?
It wasn't Brooks Koepka.
It could have been Brooks Koepka.
It wasn't Brooks
Koepka. In my mind.
Koepka.
Well, that's okay. You have your vote. I have mine.
Okay. You know what? I actually think it's Laker-Rocket fight.
You think so?
Yeah, I actually think it is just because... I don't think there's a lot of juice right now about the Texans, but there should be. It's a four-game win streak, but, I mean, that's just rare.
Bring on the Chiefs. Let's go. Come on, Rams. You want some?
Here's the thing. It's just rare to see a fight in the NBA where punches are thrown punches land.
That is true.
And then one of the players spit on another player.
Oh, no, he said he didn't, and the Lakers said he didn't.
Well, the league said he did.
Yeah, the league did say he did, but why does he only get 3 games when he spit and throws punches?
See, I thought he would get 5.
I did too, and I thought Brandon Ingram should have gotten at least 5.
Yeah, he got 4.
Rajon started Rondo, all this crap.
Yeah, Brandon Ingram was the guy who started, and then he sucker punched.
Yeah.
Brandon Ingram gets the most. He gets 4. Rajon Rondo got 3, and then Chris Paul got 2.
Oh, wait till you hear your boy. Wait, hear your boy about this this little thing here. Okay, tell him your theory.
Let's start with Brandon Ingram's the beginning of it. Why are we surprised someone got tired of James drawing a foul? I know you don't push a guy, but I think Van Gundy was like, why did he push him? We don't know why Brandon Ingram pushed him.
I honestly, do you know why?
Yes. Because if you're on a court, let's take it off the NBA. Let's say you're on a court and you consistently go against a guy who's looking to draw fouls, and that was purely frustration dealing with James. That's what that is. I'm surprised it hasn't happened before where someone was like, man, could you please stop going out of your way to draw fouls?
But Brandon Ingram, as he was penetrating, Brandon Ingram got in the way. Like, he was impeding progress.
No, James leaned to the right because that's what he does. He drew the foul call.
James would never do that.
Yeah, he would never do that.
Whatever.
I'm not saying it wasn't a foul. I'm not even disagreeing that
it was a foul.
It was a foul, but James initiated everything because that's kind of what part of his game is. He's the best at it, getting to the foul line. And Ingram was like, all right, man, I got called for a foul. When James walked by him asking for the N1, Ingram was like, all right, man, just get out of my way.
Now, that was what was surprising to me and probably to Van Gundy, is that it was far after the play. Like, it's not like they were next to each other and he said, get off, you know, like pushed him. If there was a delay, there was a break. James wasn't crossing in his path directly. It was like he went out of his way. It looked like a pure frustration.
It was
thing,
frustration.
Which
with
you
James.
You just don't see it that much where you're frustrated. The guy drew a foul and you push him.
So that's what I looked at. I heard Van Gundy said, why did he do it? Well, I think it's pretty clear why he did it. Frustration with James, and then that led to everything else.
Well, you had a little different theory on
that's
this.
That's the beginning.
Okay.
My thought is, if we took this off the basketball court and it's just a scuffle between your boys and another crew or whatever, and there's punches thrown, would Brandon Ingram's actions be looked at as, oh, you can't do that in a fight?
Yeah, you can't. That's right.
In a multiple-person scuffle, would that be considered, oh, you can't. Hey, we're fighting here. You can't run in and punch anyone in a fight.
Well, what does a street fight have to do with this?
Well, that's what I'm saying. We're judging it differently because it happened on the NBA court. Like I'm saying.
Well, It did happen on the NBA court. I'm aware, but
during a fight, I don't know if anyone's thinking, wow, okay, I'm actually in the NBA right now.
If you're sitting in the stands and you punch an old man, or if you're sitting in your classroom and you punch an old man who happens to be the teacher, there's a big difference, okay? If you're on an NBA court, you can't walk up and throw
about
a haymaker.
You're talking about an old man. Not a guy.
In Jacksonville, they don't care.
They don't care about
hitting
an old man.
They'll punch an old man in Jacksonville.
But Chris Paul's not an old man. Why is that the same?
In basketball terms,
No. I'm talking about the situation does dictate what you can and can't do.
I don't know if it does in a fight.
Well,
yes, it does.
No, wait.
But in a fight, you can't just go punch your teacher.
Well, hold on.
That's not the same thing.
Well, let me ask you a question, Dale. How often have you seen it?
Authority figure.
But how often have you seen it in the NBA where a guy has jumped in and thrown a sucker punch? Because that's considered a sucker punch.
I've seen it quite a bit. When punches are actually thrown, usually the punches don't get thrown in NBA fights.
That's what I'm saying. I don't remember seeing like a sucker punch where somebody goes and punches somebody from behind. I don't remember seeing
well,
it.
He didn't
but,
punch
I mean,
from behind. He just punched him when he wasn't aware that it was coming because Chris Paul was facing him.
Well, I didn't see him square up where Chris Paul was being
pulled away by LeBron.
But that wasn't between him and Chris Paul. No, I don't usually see a third guy get into a fight between two guys. I don't know that I've ever seen that on a basketball court.
It happens occasionally, but basketball fights rarely devolve
into punches.
That's
what I'm saying. And that was a basketball fight.
Yeah.
Like, this isn't out on the street where your boy – because if it was – and James was laying back like he did, where he never touched anyone and never even got in there at all. I took the video of that. I hear all the people. He was being smart. He wasn't going to be part of those shenanigans. He didn't want to get another technical. That wasn't about getting a technical. You can go in there and act as a peacemaker and not get a technical.
LeBron did the right thing. LeBron did all the right things. Lance Stephenson did.
And so did Carmelo did. Yeah. Yeah. And Carmelo still got into it, but there was no technical given to Carmelo Anthony.
No, and here's the deal, though. Brandon Ingram should have gotten at least 5 or 6 games.
You think that many? I thought four was okay.
And Rondo should have gotten 5.
Rondo, to me, if you spit, and it was hard, boy, it was really hard. He was sneaky about it.
Yeah, he was sneaky.
He did that intentionally. When I saw that Chris Paul, okay, so I was watching a Rockets broadcast. I don't know if the video was the same. I was watching a Rockets broadcast, and Matt Bullard, I didn't know there was an ESPN because I don't like missing ESPN broadcast. But anyway, Matt Bullard goes, oh, it's all breaking loose right now. And they were late getting to it. And so I didn't get to see what happened until the replay. And I'm like, oh, wait, Chris started this. Chris is the one who put his finger, like, all in his face and was giving him what we used to call a perner because he was And I was like, that's not, you know, for Chris Paul to do that, I'm like, wow, what did Rondo say or what did Rondo do? And then I saw him wiping his face. I'm like, did he get, you know, headbutted, or I couldn't find it, but it was clear that Chris's reaction was you just did or said or something that sent Chris off, because that's not normal for Chris to put his hands on somebody because he is salty. Rondo and him are two of the saltiest players in the league.
Chris
and Pat Beverly, who got into it yesterday.
Chris Paul's not normally a guy who wants to get in a fight. He will punch you in the nuts, though.
Yeah, but Chris is a salty guy. He doesn't back down from stuff either, and neither does Rajon Rondo. But when you spit in his face, that was no longer a Chris Paul basketball player. That was you just intentionally spit in my face, two dudes, which is because Rajon Rondo wouldn't usually, you know, and then for Chris Paul to do that to him in his face, Rondo's the type of guy's like, no. We're not basketball players. This is me
well,
being
was,
a dude, and you just put your hand in my face.
Well, not only in his face, he has To me, it looked like two fingers, and he was in his eye.
Yeah, I couldn't.
He was really going hard at it. So, and Rondo, if you spit in somebody's face, then you deserve whatever you get.
And Rondo landed a pretty good left on him, obviously. Chris landed a little bit of a left or a right. And then Brandon Ingram came in. Yeah. And I mean, look, he's not going to bust a grape in a food fight with those.
But as basketball fights go, that was pretty good. Yeah.
Do you have any problem with James? Did you notice it laying back and not coming to?
No, James didn't know. He ain't getting in there. Come on. He's just waiting because you know what? Although that'd be more time at the booty club, but it's just.
No, but I mean, do you think there's any issues? Dell, do you think there's any issues since you've already taken this to the street level? You think there's any issues if the players see this and they're like, James.
Anybody who's being a peacemaker, no way.
James wasn't a peacemaker.
But he wasn't a peacemaker.
He
wasn't an agitator.
He just stayed out of it. If you stay out of it on a basketball court.
Yeah, I was just asking.
I don't know why you'd have any problem with that.
We know Lonzo caught his heat last year from pretty much doing the same thing. It was like, hey, man, I'm not getting involved in your fight. And people took issue with him. I don't know if it'll be a team thing.
Here, John,
take issue with it, though.
Look at this whole thing. So this whole scrap is going on.
And James is just sitting back there.
He and Lonzo Ball are both like, we don't want to
rush. They're cut from the same cloth. Lonzo has a reputation of not getting into stuff.
Hey, listen, maybe your opinion is, this is bull. You know what?
I was just surprised
to see. This is crap. I'm not getting into a fight on a basketball court.
Well, no, that's fine. I'm not making fun of James. I was just surprised that he didn't run in and like, because I've seen him get in the middle of it before. Maybe James really was thinking about the fact that I've already got a technical, I'm not getting another one. Maybe it's just that simple. I don't know. I was just a little bit surprised based on usually in those kind of dust ups where one of them involves a guy who I think is his friend and Chris Paul. I've heard he is. Then Carmelo, another one of his friends. I was just a little surprised.
You don't lose your mind and get suspended? I don't know.
Well, I didn't but I don't think that's what everyone keeps jumping to this get suspended stuff. I'm not asking him to come in there and throw punches. I was just surprised he didn't run into it and just like do basketball
fight.
Do the basketball fight.
You know what they do in hockey fights? A lot of times the other guys, they just stand there and hold each other.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? They just hold.
I figured he would just do that. James is like, I'm laying back.
I got a good seat here.
Hey, maybe out in here. 20 million Adidas a year.
So it turns out they kind of need Chris Paul because they go on and lose to the Clippers last night without Chris Paul on the floor. Montrezl taking care of some business on the floor. How about that? Montrezl's coming back.
Montrezl.
17-10 against you. That's not what you wanted.
They just didn't like him. I heard he was not maybe great in practice. Didn't follow through with the whole game plan stuff. Not very disciplined. But Kevin McHale really didn't care. But every time he played,
how'd that work out for Kevin McHale?
And dunked. Yeah, no.
How'd that work out for Kevin McHale?
That's right.
All right.
Not great.
When you hold Pat Beverly to 4 points in this one, and you still, Montrezl is taking care of business. You saw Luke Mbamute. You didn't regret all that much. But you still lose. Carmelo Anthony, minus 18 on the floor.
Right.
For 27 minutes. Well,
wasn't he like a minus 20 plus? I mean, plus 20-something on Saturday night?
On Saturday, and then minus 18.
Well, Carmelo is consistent. He'll make his three shots. I'm not saying how many shots he'll take to get to those three shots, but that's been his
going to make three
Mella,
for you.
Mella has so been hitting some boards a little bit lately, and they got to figure out there. That Laker game showed off how explosive they could be, but how defensively. Like right now, they're just – we knew they're not going to be as good defensively, but I watched Bill Worrell had a and we'll get to a lot of Texan stuff here in just a second. We'll get through this. Bill Worrell had like a sit-down conversation with Mike D'Antoni. And I was watching on a pregame show. And man, D'Antoni was salty about everything. Hey, I mean, everyone said that we couldn't, Chris Paul would. He goes, Bill goes, well, a lot of people are very concerned. You lose Luke Bamute, you lose Trevor Ariza, you lose Jeff Bezdelic. And the naysayers, and Bill was saying it in such a way like he was like, oh, this is kind of silly. But the naysayers are saying they don't know if you can. He goes, yeah, and they also said that we couldn't make it work with Chris Paul. And they said we had no chance winning 54 games last year. And they said, and he went through, and some of them he was overstating, some of them he was right, Mike D'Antoni. But I just want to say, Mike, I think the Bisdelli thing is going to matter. And we'll see if Ennis is as impactful as Trevor Ariza. Ariza had some games where you could really feel his significance. The second half, you could for Ennis, but not the first half so much. I don't think he's going to shoot it as well as Ariza. And I didn't feel like Ariza was a great shooter, but every year I looked up, his three-point percentage was way better than it felt like it was watching games. But, yeah, it's hard to get a vibe for what the team's going to be this year, so far after the first three.
It's got an awfully 2015-16 vibe, where everybody was really excited after the Western Conference Finals.
Yeah.
And then you came out and laid an egg and finished with, what, 42, 43?
It says 41 and 41.
41.
I think they were 50. I think it was 41 and
41. 41 and 41, eighth seed and losing the first round to Golden State. That this has got that kind of feel, that it's got the ability to maybe be that season. Hopefully not,
because
I can tell
you, you're the only one who feels that way based on everyone who's talking. Has the rock? Of course, it's all with the Rockets broadcast. But
well, I've got them 60 wins. I've got them 60 wins. But it has this start is kind of the feel to that same 15-16.
That first start, the first game. And then did you see what New Orleans scored the next game? They're in the 150 range,
right?
That's another thing. Basketball's got a new emphasis on not playing any defense. Well, it's a different rule. They call it, like, don't impede any movement. Do you mean, like, not
path
defend?
Not defend, path
so
to the basket?
So if a guy starts dribbling, I can't get in his... Like, are we allowed to do charges anymore, or is that a thing anymore?
Are we allowed to go near the guy with the ball anymore?
We're actually not allowed to stop them from doing whatever they want to do.
All right, on the other side, we'll talk Texans. We've got a lot of stuff to talk about with your Houston Texans right here on ESPN 97.5.
You know, I tell you who else is first place, Bill Advisor. Bill Advisor is first place in resetting your bills. And here's what I mean by that. Your cable, your satellite, your home phone, internet, all of these, when you first sign up, you get some kind of initial deal. That's what happens, and everyone gets all excited, and the prices are really, really good. And then what happens is, you know, once that's up, you go back to a standard rate. And then after that, you keep going up and up and up. Each year, every year and a half, they'll add something to your rate. They add. Like, you're getting something brand new, they tell you. It's something brand new you probably never use. Like, four new channels that you'll never watch, and you end up having to pay for them. Well, what Bill Advisor does is they come in, and they start to renegotiate you back to that new customer rate. And that's at the heart of it, that's what you're basically talking about. That's how they're saving people so much money. The average savings right now is up over $900. But the fact is, the savings of $1,000 to what I had, which was $2,000 the very first year, it's not that unusual, because so many people have been with their companies for so long that they're in for a big, big treat when Bill Advisor gets you finished with their renegotiations. And if you want to move companies, you want to move cell services, you want to move from cable to satellite, whatever the case is, they can do that for you as well. BillAdvisor.com, BillAdvisor.com. Text GO to 232323. That's GO to 232323.
Damn, it feels good to be a gangster.
ESPN
97.5. Ups and downs before, you stress. You can't try to win all these games back. You have to win each week. You don't even have to play well. You need to win every day.
I think you guys are unbelievable to me, though. Like, how you've been around this game a long time. Like, people say you don't play well, and you do you have any idea how hard it is to win an NFL football game? I mean, it is the most difficult thing to do, I think, in professional sports, to go out and win an NFL football game. They're hard fought. There's great players on both sides of the ball and on special teams. There's these wins, no matter how you win, this team fights. This team practices hard. They care about each other. I mean, really, like somebody asked me the question last week, you know, I get these questions here and I'm going, like, what does that mean? We didn't play well and we still won. Okay, whatever you decide is playing well is fine with me, but we won. And we've won four in a row, and now the key is, can we keep it going?
That's just Jerome Solomon getting roasted by Bill O'Brien.
Boom.
I think it was Jerome Solomon.
Boom. Roasted. Like Jerome.
you just got roasted, which is what my daughter says to her brothers whenever something she thinks, and they get all pissed off at her, and Snacks wants to attack. But actually, I thought the Texans did play well defensively. I thought offensively. Well, actually, you know what? They ran the ball well offensively.
Oh, they ran the ball great, and then they got away from the run in the second half, and when they were just running it right down their throats. When they were dictating the game, they were doing what they wanted to do on the ground and just bullying them, which is awfully surprising to be bullying the Jaguars.
Well, they did. They bullied the bullies, and the Jaguars got like that touchdown run by Alfred Blue. One of the most embarrassing things. Aubrey Jones, Greg Mance got up under his pads and put him on skates.
A great game.
Greg Mance played really well. This team has run blocked really well in at least three of the games. Yesterday was one of their best ones. They physically imposed their will on the Jaguars, and that's how you go on and win. Look, this Texans team, I know what Deshaun did last year with all his touchdowns, and we thought he was just, you know, the second coming of everything. The fact is, Deshaun's going to have to play the role at times of game manager, and that's okay. Whatever it takes to win. It's not coming as easily for Deshaun Watson. With all due respect to Bill O'Brien, I think getting a hole in one is much harder than winning a game in the NFL. It feels like that.
Oh, hit a 100 mile an hour fastball, Bill O'Brien.
Hitting a Josh James fastball up in the zone is harder than winning a game. I mean, it feels like that. I don't know.
Hitting a Josh James breaking ball when you're a left-handed hitter.
That feels pretty impossible too. Most breaking pitches,
unless you're Milt
most
Bradley.
Breaking pitches, unless you
I
leave
mean Jackie
it,
Bradley,
unless you hang it in the zone.
Yes. Well, no. Against a lefty, okay, hit a Randy. Yeah. Randy Johnson.
Yeah, or Chris Sale.
If you're a lefty.
If you're Randy Johnson with the Mariners and you stop caring about pitching before you got traded to the Astros?
That's so you get traded. That part doesn't.
Easier to hit them than winning.
Part doesn't count.
Now, what's hard? Stopping a LeBron dunk. Is that easier than winning in the NFL? I don't think so. I don't think it is. I think winning in the NFL is easier than stopping LeBron's dunk.
I get Bill O'Brien's righteous indignation. They're 4-3. They won 4 in a row.
That's right. You're damn right, Dell. Thank you. Golf clap for you.
They beat the team.
They beat the team. Keep laying out facts.
Well, let me stop clapping and let me lay them out.
You're not going to go negative, are you?
No, let me lay it out.
Okay.
They beat the team who was allegedly the bully of this division, the team that everyone thought was a Super Bowl contender, the team that pushed New England to the brink last year, and they beat them, and they're 4-3, and they're in first place.
Yeah, first place.
If I was Jerome Solomon, I would have said, if you... I watch the Chiefs on a weekly basis. It seems like they play a different brand of football than you do.
Oh, I'm not going to comment on another team.
I know.
You know, hey, great for the Chiefs.
Yeah.
We're 4-3. We're winning the division. What? We're first place.
So, wait a minute. Who's in first place? Chiefs? Who's in first place? Texans? Same thing.
I'm sorry, Dell. I'm going to ask
really
you. And this is Bill
thing.
O'Brien.
Same thing.
Here's Bill O'Brien talking to Dell.
Who's the number one overall seed in the AFC?
Here's Dell Solomon.
Doesn't matter.
Here's
same
Bill
thing.
O'Brien. Lance O'Brien talking to Dell Solomon. Yeah, well, answer me this question then about your Chiefs. Who's got a longer win streak?
Who has a better record, Bill?
Who has a longer
that
win streak?
That doesn't matter.
Who's playing
every
better football
season,
right now?
The Chiefs.
Who's playing better football the last month?
The
no.
Kansas City Chiefs.
No, because the Texans basically don't lose in October. That's the way it works.
That is the
They're basically
works.
Unbeatable in October.
That is kind of the way it works. Look at Thursday night. How you feeling about Miami coming in here?
Well, I would feel better if their top receivers weren't hurt.
Brocktober continues.
Well, Brock's actually played well. It was the defense who gave up over 400 yards.
He started really well. We're watching the game, and it says Brock is 9 for 12 for 120 yards.
I saw the same
And then
thing.
An hour
like,
later, Brock is 9 for whatever for 120 yards. I mean, it looked like he just stopped.
All right, well, he stopped because the Lions had the ball for the entire second quarter and then into the third. The Lions ended the second half with the 7-minute drive and opened the first half with the 6.5-minute drive. That's why his number stopped. He wasn't on the field.
Because?
The Dolphins defense was atrocious.
Yeah, well, there you have it. And that's how they'll be.
Brock was good, actually. The defense was the problem.
Are you going Thursday night?
I don't know.
Why not? Why aren't you going?
Can watch it at home.
What's your
it's
team?
I've got an extra ticket. I'll take you.
I don't care.
Me and you sit in the stands together.
You
buddies.
Could have an extra ticket to Tahiti, and I wouldn't go with you.
But Tahiti? Why would I want to take you to Tahiti?
Place. I just picked any tropical
okay,
place.
Okay, why would I take you out?
Exactly. Why would I want to go with you anywhere?
To a Miami Dolphins game. Let's go. We'll sit in my seats. Two best buddies.
You
I don't want to hang
guys
out with you.
Are best buddies.
I barely,
going to games and I'm, going to Tahiti.
I barely like being here. I'm not going to any game with you.
All right, so here's the deal. is the Texans Thursday night. Quick turnaround. And Bill O'Brien talked about it. He when asked, oh, well, this team last year, this Jaguars, he said, whoa. The team last year is a different team. That's different. What the Jaguars did last year.
It is true, though.
It is true, except for the Patriots. You know the Patriots will be there every year.
Yeah, the Patriots are different. But the Jaguars right now, Yannick Ngakoue was yelling at his teammates. I mean, yelling at his coaches. Then, after the game, he was caught by Jacksonville. They opened the doors for reporters to come in, and Ngakoue immediately start yelling at somebody across the room. Calais Campbell is holding him back. It was somebody in his own locker room, not a media member.
He might have still been the coach. We don't know.
It might have been, but coaches usually aren't in their locker rooms, so I kind of doubt that. And he's the one that got into the fight with Fowler. Remember? Not Dexter Fowler.
Dante.
Yeah, Dante Fowler. Fowler more got into the fight with him. They've got some. And did you see how the players on the sideline were reacting? And I guess they should to Cody Kessler. Like Smith, all the guys were just, after that first touchdown, they were going bonkers on the sideline for Cody Kessler. There's no way they could be bought into Blake Bortles after all these years.
Oh, no. No.
He's had like his best, his best season ever was his rookie year. Much like Dak's best season, much like RG3's best season, so far Deshaun's best season. I mean, I have faith that, well, I don't know if Deshaun will ever have a better
sure
statistical.
Wasn't his second year,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, sure. Go look at that first year.
He had
maybe you're right, but I don't think so. I think he regressed his sophomore year.
No, I think it was maybe his second year that he had.
I don't think second, maybe third.
But even those numbers, it was broken down going into last year about how much he was doing after the game was out of hand. Like his team would be down by two touchdowns and he would put up numbers. Yeah.
Oh, no, even his first, whatever year he's a first time starter. He was a maybe you're right, John, because I remember he was a fantasy. Yeah, I think you're right. I think it was 13.
Yeah,
because he was a fantasy football. Oh no, it couldn't have been 13 because he got drafted.
It was
15.
It was he was 35 and 18 and 15. His second year in the league,
and it was a fourth quarter mop up fantasy football smorgasbord.
All right, 727 ESPN 97.1.
Let's see, 16, 17, and we're on 18 now. And Jacksonville.
Yeah, but he got him to the AFC Championship game last year. That's tough.
He got.
We
hot.
We know how he got
hot
at one.
He got hot. Yeah, we a know lot how of zone read stuff.
Yeah, we got. Yeah, well, and Leonard Fournette and running the ball and playing unbelievable defense and doing all of those things. But he did contribute in some games when they had a hard time running. He did throw some. He had a couple
gotta
of good games passing.
Got to project. That's the thing. That's you got to get past that and project what is likely to happen. What was likely to happen is more this. Than him taking a big first step. But, I missed. I thought, well, he'll play good enough. Is the Fournette loss that big a deal? And they're also really beat up on their offensive line, too.
Yeah, no, Cam Robinson was a big loss. All right, time to talk with John Clay Wolf. He set out a picture of a car this morning that he bought from Houston, right, John Clay Wolf?
Yeah, the Banshee from Grand Theft Auto.
Wow, a GTA. The Banshee, and now it's a sweet looking. So you bought that, and obviously you gave top dollar, right?
I think I gave too much, actually. I kind of got onto my guy about it. He got a little emotionally involved, and they told me about this deal after it was over. And yeah, I think I need to brag about it all I can because I think I'm going to lose my ass.
Yeah, get something out of it anyway. Well, I retweeted it. People can see it, and this is the kind of stuff that you do. You give people too much money for their cars.
I didn't hang up on it.
Bye, John Clay. Yeah, that's right. I give too much money for my cars, and then I make nachos with my wife afterwards. What? That's what John Clay Wolf do. He does it every single day. He gives you too much money for your car. GiveMeTheVIN.com. That's GiveMeTheVIN.com. He's awesome. Take advantage of him right now at GiveMeTheVIN.com.
Check it. Come experience what 25 years of perfection tastes like at Saltgrass Steakhouse. Proud sponsors of the ESPN 97.5 app. Download it today.
Oh,
Talk about you and Ramsey, because y'all got a good thing going there.
We got a good thing going. What's a good thing? Explain.
The rivalry.
What rivalry?
Two great players.
Oh. I didn't know it was a rivalry. I just play whoever across from me.
You don't consider a rivalry with Ramsey?
Nah, it can't be a rivalry. How can it be a rivalry? What's our team record?
You know what your team record is. You're 4-3.
Since we've been playing the Jaguars, since he's been there, what's our record against them?
I don't know.
Under OB, we're 7-2.
Oh, okay. Next question.
The answer's 7-2.
Who was that?
That was D-Hop.
That was Hop? Yep. It didn't sound like Hop to me, but I figured he was asking Hop-type questions. He's talking about Ramsey.
Right.
They're 7-2 since seven Hop's been there?
Since Hop's been there against the Jags.
And he knew the answer because that's what
he knew
the question.
The answer.
What's our record since we've been here? It's probably Wexler's like 7-2 right off the bat. No, Wex was at Sports Sunday with me yesterday. Man, Ramsey limited Hopkins to 3 catches, but Hopkins had a touchdown. Hopkins had a long one-hand catch. It was really sweet. And the Rockets ran, the Texans ran it 22 times with Lamar Miller. Like, they didn't have to throw it a lot. They got 6 catches on A.J. Bouye. I think 3 of them, 6 for Fuller. I think 3 of them were for first downs, maybe 4 more for first downs. You know, it's weird because we judge people's success, and I think that's what frustrated Bill O'Brien. Everyone's success is judged by fantasy stats now, basically.
Yeah.
And Deshaun definitely didn't have a good fantasy day. You can attest to that if you started him. But
he started Mitchell Trubisky.
But you know what? He didn't. He didn't have an interception, did he? Deshaun.
No, but Gibson. Remember the one in the end zone?
Should have had. Yeah.
Should have had that.
It might have been the.
Boy,
fifth,
that would have been another one
in the end zone. Instead, it's not.
And
he broke his streak of 8 straight games with an interception. It's called game management. And you know what? Sometimes you got to be a game manager. And that's just what it is. And people get so upset about the phrase game manager. They think it's the ultimate, like you've spit in their mouth. Yeah. No.
Whoa.
You know, Alex Smith was forever a game manager, and he was. Now, I expect Deshaun to, he needs to be better than Alex Smith.
He needs to be more playmaker. He needs to make, but he's still, hey, he had to ride a bus there, okay? Would you have ridden a bus there instead of taking the flight just so you wouldn't have the pressure on your lungs? What he did? 800-mile trip to Jacksonville? You know how freaking long that is? My God.
I mean, I don't. It must not have been a very good feeling to fly. So, yeah, I guess.
Well, if that's the way it worked, then
I'm
that's
sure
the way it worked.
I'm sure he got a sweet bus. Although he doesn't make a ton of money right now.
No, but the team, I'm sure the team got him the bus.
Oh, no. He had to buy it. He had to get it himself. That's his expense from what I was told.
What kind of nonsense is that?
That's really not right.
It's his.
And so he's not making the huge money
he
yet.
He plays for you.
Yeah. No, he's hurt because he didn't trust his offensive line. He should have trusted them.
He's hurt because he plays for you, and you can't get the man a bus to go to Jacksonville?
I don't. Are you sure about that?
True?
I haven't heard that. Where did you hear that he had to pay for that?
We'll see.
I don't.
Twitter.
I feel like that's not
Twitter
true.
Told you Twitter that? You got this confirmation on Twitter? Well, then it must be true.
There you go. Thank you. Enters on Wikipedia.
So I kind of feel like, okay, so there was a Tyler Irvin sighting.
Yeah.
Caught a pass.
Yeah,
Was all. Kiki Kuti surprisingly has a hamstring issue.
Yeah, another soft tissue. Boy, let's see. Devere Posey, if you play any slot at all, you are going to Jerome Mathis, Kiki Kuti, Devere Posey, Braxton Miller. If you ever line up in a slot for the Texans, you're basically a dead
Tyler
man.
Tyler Irvin, you're next.
You're a dead man.
You're next. Will Fuller almost looks identical to D-Hop.
He really does. He is a smaller version.
A little bit, but the first pass of the game, the announcer goes, "That's a complete to D-Hop." And I was like, "Oh, yeah, okay." And it was like, "No, that's 15. Wait a minute. That's not D-Hop, but they almost look identical. And I'll tell you what, I'm eating my words on Fuller. He's a good receiver.
He really
runs
is.
Really good routes, and he does what they wanted him to do. He really has improved his hands, but he definitely stretches the defense some because you always got to worry about, even though
always.
They're not going over the top
he
to
is
him,
blazing
you
fast.
Still have to worry about
and
it.
And you hit the big thing, too. His route running is really good.
Really
In college,
good.
One of the things that stood out to me when watching his tape was that he's very subtle. Like, There's no change in speed. When he makes his cuts and when he makes his change of direction, there is not only is there no change of speed, like not only does he have to reduce speed, he has a way of accelerating out of his stem where he just gets this monster separation. And teams are terrified of it. I mean, you know, he roasted. The first time I really recognized it was against the Houston, against the Texas Longhorns. Like, ooh, man, look, he had a touchdown against them in that first game. I was like, wow, that's pretty serious.
When Texas was back, folks.
When they were back. And then watching the rest of the, you know, his rest of his game tape, I was like, holy crap. This is big-time NFL stuff to separate like this. His hands were a big issue in college. It was just, there was no getting
around. They're better now.
I don't remember a drop this year.
And they're not. He's not even bobbling it.
It doesn't even look like the same guy. Like that. Yeah. That and how do you get your hands?
Well, I'll tell
there's
you.
There's no double catches.
I asked Dana about this. I said, what, Dana? What about guys who can't catch the ball? He says, you know what you do? You get him in front of the jugs, and he catches 1,000 a day. And then you know what happens? His hands get better.
They really do.
They really do.
Because you know, there's some things that you won't change, but I guess it's. Because that's not really – because some of it is hand-eye coordination. You know, I always – every time that you have a guy who has that kind of issue with hands, there's always talk in NFL circles about you got to get their eyes checked because chances are as young players, as college players, they may not have the access or they may not just take it seriously enough. There could be vision stuff. But with Will Fuller, like, his hands are obviously stronger. It just – I don't know. I'd be interested in talking to the wide receiver coach or even Bill O'Brien. Like,
or Fuller. Let's see what he did.
Yeah, or Will Fuller.
Yeah.
I mean, he worked with Equanimeous St. Brown's dad, who is a bodybuilder, and he's clearly physically stronger. But, man, the hands are the most impressive thing to me.
No question about that. Jadavian had himself another. This is going to become a harder, a more and more difficult deal.
Let me ask you a question, and we'll let both you guys jump in if you want to here. So one of the reasons that he is so successful right now rushing is that Romeo Crennel has recognized, look, he's not a classic edge rusher. He doesn't beat people around the corner all that often. His best move is an inside move, and he's really good with secondary rushes. When the first rush stalls, he's really good at getting off a blocker, and he has the speed to track a quarterback and get a sack. Romeo recognized this a couple years ago with him and Whitney Merciless. They installed it against the New England Patriots in the playoffs. And now he's gone back to it this year now that Romeo's DC. He stands up Jadavian and lets him choose. I don't know if it's a choice or if it's set up where he rushes into B gap between guard tackle or the A gap between center guard. And it's really paying dividends because he gets a running start. When he's not offsides, he gets a running start, and then his athleticism versus those bigs when he's already on the move is like a horrible matchup for those guards, and it's really paying off. But that's not him just going and whipping a tackle. I'm kind of curious how the Texans are going to view that from a financial standpoint. I'll tell you what I think is going to happen is he's going to catch a franchise tag. Is my guess. I think they're going to have the same concerns.
I agree.
About long-term with him, but there's no getting around the fact that he's your best defensive player.
I agree. Right. I think you're going to have to franchise him because you don't know that you can give him that long-term money. But he's going to get paid. He's going to hate it. He's going to sit out of camp. He's going to pout, and then he's going to come in and he's going to play for that franchise money. Because he wants long-term security, but I don't know that you can give it to him. I just don't. I think you made that mistake with Mario. I don't think he's Mario, though. I don't think he's Mario Williams.
But he is a D-end, and he's going to get...
I think he affects winning more than Mario did.
Yeah, I would... Well, historically, I don't know if that's been the key with
I
all
think
those,
he's more disruptive.
With a couple nine-win seasons?
I think he's more pressures... More hits on the quarterback. Mario got his sacks.
I'm going to look it up.
Mario got his sacks, but it would seem like those were the only plays that he made in the whole game. Jadavian runs people down. Jadavian is a lot more active. I think a lot quicker. I think he does a lot more things.
Instincts, too, and better awareness. Like, Mario sometimes would be lost on the field. Misdirection stuff would go right by him.
And then Mario was done, whereas Jadavian will run people down. He does. He's a lot more. And that was the wrap up coming out the effort thing. We see effort out of him every week.
He's a good effort player.
He really is.
And that was one of the things that he was just kind of typecast as that. But that hasn't been an issue. Like, you can see him. He plays with really good hustle. Hold on. Because Jadeveon, I don't care about 2018 games. Give me his stats, boys. Give me his Jadeveon.
Which stats you want?
Stats. Oh, here it is. Forced fumbles. He's forced only 3 fumbles. Mario in his career, I didn't think he has very many, but Mario in his career has forced 16 fumbles. You got four forced fumbles for him?
Yep. 2 last year, 1 and 1.
I'm showing 3. Okay. And I've got 3 forced and I've got 5 recovered. Mario Williams had recovered fumbles would be 5 in his career. Sacks, Jadeveon is up to 4.5. Jadeveon, I think, is going to get to 10. Well, it'll be close.
See, but I'm looking at the last 3 years as opposed to his first 2 years. I don't think he was that kind of. I think he turned a quarter in 2016. 40 tackles, 41 tackles.
Tackles for loss, Jadeveon, last 3 years, 16, 21, and right now he's on a pace for over 20. Mario Williams tackles for loss. 14, 17, 13, 12, 15, 19. Those are his best. So, yeah, I would say more impactful as far as quarterback hits.
Well, then that's another thing is quarterback hits. All right, 744.
Yeah, quarterback hits, Mario had him beat.
ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. All of this and more. What kind of comments you got? Okay, your team is in first place. All right? Your Rockets fighting, okay? LSU.
No.
What about this matchup now? Without Devin White. You want to talk about a stink, and there is a stink.
Wait, what's the matchup this week?
Nothing.
They have an off week.
Off week.
Yeah, because they got Bama in 2 weeks.
They got Bama in 2 weeks. And so Bama's got the bye, too. So here we go. This is for a playoff spot.
Oh, Devin White. Oh, because it's a bye week.
It's a bye week. He's not going to play.
What a terrible, terrible call.
Yeah.
Well, how does that stand?
We'll talk about it on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5. Now let's talk about standing Craig DeCerf when he's standing up.
Let me tell you, when Craig DeCerf stands up, it's not super high. But he'll flex on you, though. He'll like, yeah. Craig has so much energy. He's one of those guys I love to be around. Don't you love those guys? There's certain people you just really like being around because they got some, like, I don't know. There's just something about their vibes that makes you feel good. And it's one of the reasons to me, it's not even a joke, that I think he's been so successful in terms of selling cars is because people, A, know they can trust him. And then, B, they know that he's out there looking out for you. And he really is, because at the end of the day, he's going to be able to make a sale, and that's great. And they have dealer cash back and the incentives and the rebates and whatever it is standard, he's going to give it to you. But he goes above and beyond for trade-in value. He makes sure that he gets the vehicle that you want, whether it's Chevy Suburban, a Yukon with a, you know, you want a certain, the second row needs to be a bench row instead of captain seats. Whatever you're looking for, he'll make sure and get it for you. And they have great cars like the Chevy Cruze, which is an excellent first-time car for someone. You've got some outstanding crossover vehicles on the Buick side. And, of course, GMC with the Acadia and the Yukon and the GMC Sierra pickup truck. Everything that you're looking for can be found at one spot. Now, it's in Angleton, and it may be a 40 to 45-minute drive, but if I were to tell you you could save thousands there, would you do that? And would you be interested if I told you that they will bring the vehicle to you here in Houston if they need to? That's customer service for you. And that's why people go back for car 2, 3, and 4. With Craig DeCerf and Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC, to see their entire selection, go to LanceZCars.com.
This is Jose Altuve, MVP, World Series champion, and a big fan of Gulf Coast Chevrolet with GMC. Chevy, find new roads.
Is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776, the number, if you'd like to hang out with us. Biggest call, this it could really affect this football season, was Devin White's hit on Nick Fitzgerald in the MSU game. 19-3 at the time. Just not even, and it looked more, it did not look like a push more than, I mean, his helmet may have touched his face mask, but the fact that they called it, and technically, I guess, but first his hands were on him, and then his helmet touched and it like the side of his face mask because Fitzgerald turned after he was being pushed to the ground. I think that's a crap call. I guess by the letter of the law, I guess it is because his but it wasn't even the crown of his helmet. It was the front of his helmet that hit Fitzgerald's face mask.
Well, I've heard this explained so many damn times because they always now have a guy there to talk about it. I guess it doesn't matter depending on what is going on. It doesn't have to be the crown. Forcible contact, the head or neck area is the deal.
But was it even
on
forceful?
The defenseless? Well, that's the deal. That's the question. Was it forcible contact? And I guess they determined it was since their quarterback fell down. So,
man, that's a big call. That is really a big call. That's their best defensive. Well, Greedy's probably their best defensive player, but he is one of their best defensive players. And for him to be out the first half against Alabama because of that call,
now that would be scary if Alabama was actually any good offensively in the first half.
They're not any good.
Yeah, I mean,
what are they averaging, like 30 points a game in the first?
I understand the importance of Devin White. I do. He's a great player.
Well, this is a different defense now.
I understand. I just don't feel like the middle linebacker not being there is going to be. If he, I get it. If he doesn't play, it hurts LSU.
Well, he makes a lot of plays now. He makes a lot of plays.
Understood. But
their defense is centered around him making plays.
But Alabama and their ability to throw the football. I don't know how you stop them, no matter who's on the field at this point.
Yeah, but what
you're
Alabama
better
does,
with
man,
them than without them. That's
what LSU does, though, dude. They keep those big guys up in the middle, holding the offensive linemen, so they can't get to the second level. Which, by the way,
so they're cheating.
Cheaters.
By the way, I know Julian is really it was ugly early on because Gwakwake was doing whatever he wanted to do to him.
He ran around him.
But when on run blocking. A few times saw Julian Davenport getting to the second level and cutting guys off. If not running them over, that's fine. Just getting in the way so that the Texans can actually pick up some yards on the ground.
They ran the run blocking was pretty good. But you know, it was last year too. It was atrocious pass protection. The run blocking, they actually ran it okay last year. You know, I don't think they get a lot of credit for that. They deserve it because they're going to get a crap load of heat about their pass protection, as well they should. But they do deserve credit for running the ball well yesterday and at times this year. They were imposing their will. Jacksonville looked like I didn't even recognize them.
No.
They've lost all their bully on their defensive
front.
They really did. I mean, the Texans were running it at them. They were controlling them. And
much like the Cowboys the week before. All right, let's get Tiny in here. He wants to get back to this LSU call. What do you say, Tiny?
Good morning, fellas. This call was crap. I don't understand it. I mean, you call targeting for that, and I've seen much worse overturned and not called targeting. It's at the point of the ball game where it's so close to the end of the ball game. To me, targeting is where you purposely use your helmet to forcibly, you know, head or neck area on the other person. Devin White barely pushed the guy, first of all. Second of all, I don't understand how you go to replay and you uphold the targeting call. I saw the game in, I guess it was Penn State, where there was a targeting call upheld and the defender was almost on the ground. So I think targeting just needs to maybe not go away, but there needs to be a redefining of targeting because this could change the outcome of the first half anyway of the LSU-Alabama game. But if you're an LSU fan, don't get too discouraged. There's two linebackers in the back of and behind Devin White. You have Joker Phillips and then you have Ray Thornton. They can both play the position just fine. But here's the deal. LSU could win this football game because name a defense that Alabama's played that Tuiaga Fugaloga has played against.
You'll learn his name. Don't worry.
No. I don't care about his name. Alabama doesn't play anybody. Nick Saban makes sure they don't play anybody. LSU's defense is tested against Georgia. Well, of course, Fromm wasn't playing very well. I expect LSU to stay in this football game for a while, and maybe Joe Burrow can maybe run a touchdown rather than throw a touchdown. I think LSU keeps it close. I do think my wife gets another victory, but we'll be there to watch it. So just I hate Alabama. It's Alabama hate for the next 2 weeks, baby.
Yep.
All right, we got bye week though for right now, but
it's 2 weeks. Well, this will be brewing
away.
Now.
2 weeks away, but if Joe Burrow, you know, game day is going to be there.
If Joe Burrow's the hero that we all need.
I mean, I get you want Devin White, but
you got Joe Burrow, so you know what? That evens it up.
Is there a way a quarterback could transfer in between now and the Alabama game?
Joe Burrow is the hero.
Who needs a quarterback worse? LSU before the Bama game or Jacksonville right now?
Well, Jacksonville has a game on Sunday, right? So probably Jacksonville.
I mean, for the rest of their season.
LSU may be a legit quarterback away from winning a national title. No.
They've got the, the guy in place.
I know. I just said
number
that.
Number
nine. I know, says me, because I said it.
Number nine.
Ooh-wee. I don't know, man. The six TDs, the three picks thing.
Well.
How many games are we in?
Oh, 2-1? You don't like 2-1?
8 games in. The dude has... More games played than touchdowns passed.
It's not what we do at LSU.
How does that? I mean, it's incredible for that LSU defense to speak to how great they are, that their quarterback has less touchdowns thrown than games played, and they are still in a national title hunt.
Here's the deal. They're going to open it up. They're going to open up the throttle against Alabama.
Seems like
maybe two touchdown passes
in
that
game. Way to go about things.
Yeah.
It's finally opening up your offense against Alabama.
That's what they're going to do.
Man.
So, Trenton makes a pretty good point. He says he has a couple pretty good tweets here. He said, double catching is often mental. Lots of practice. Catching easy balls leads confidence and understanding of how to catch and how to slow the body parts down while running and catching, which that's not a tweet coming from somebody who hasn't, you know, worked on that or been a receiver. Obviously, he knows a little bit of what he's talking about. He also said this, Jadeveon Clowney, is better than Cushing. Cushing got paid while not even playing, and JD doesn't overtrain. Here's what I would say to that. Cushing getting paid what he got paid, to me, was not good. I thought they should have made him a salary cap cut way before they actually did. And I don't pay Clowney based on the fact that, well, Rick Smith gave him a bad deal. You don't pay guys based on other bad contracts you made. That's never, and especially those were Rick deals. Brian Gaines got to come in and say, our standard is going to be this. Now, it may be to pay Clowney. There's a decent chance, but what you pay him is going to be, you can't pay him Khalil Mack money. You cannot pay him Aaron Donald money, or you're giving into a bad contract. Like, you just can't pay him the money they're getting. I don't think, at least.
More on the other side right here. And now, I want to talk about the safeties as well. We haven't even talked about Andre Howell coming back. Big story. And we'll do that on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5. But first, we're talking about Allied Siding and Windows. I'm a man, Leonard Courtright. Talk about that name. Leonard Courtright. It's a Courtright family company. Allied Siding and Windows has been for years and years. Same number and name for over 30 years. That means... And with an A-plus rating with a Better Business Bureau and 40,000 customers in Texas. And it's just, it means something. It means a lot that you have that kind of consistency, that you have that kind of excellence, that you have that reputation. So when it comes to you, and you're gonna be a beneficiary of those kind of people taking care of you, putting in those windows. Backed by a double lifetime warranty, the Simonton windows are the best window in the business. Available in dozens of colors, radiant barrier for your attic, guaranteed to reduce the average home's electricity bills by 25%, designed by NASA. Okay, these are smart people. Dual reflective technology, which means the sun is going to be reflected as opposed to absorbing that heat. Tell them I sent you, get a $500 Amazon certificate with your home window purchase at 713 Windows. Text Ally to 25- 727 Allied to 25827 or call 713 Windows. 713 Windows, tell them that you heard it right here.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.